so I...
This is file 67. Today's date is September 11th, 2017, 67 Cycle 2. This is Gene McMillan. I am interviewing John C. Hicks. He's going to talk about his life and times in Lakeville and where he's worked, as well as the Twin Lakes treasurer of the Beach Club and the Appalachian Trail. And first we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
Well, it's John Clark Hicks.
And your birthday?
Day after Christmas, 1934.
And where were you born?
Well, I think I was born in Vassar Hospital in Poughkeepsie.
In Poughkeepsie. And your parents' names?
My father was Clark Barmore Hicks. And my mother was Marion Louise Bass.
How do you spell your father's middle name?
B-A-R-M-O-R-E. I guess I had a great uncle, Clark Barmore, who was...
Yep, stands...
Lived over in East Fishkill area somewhere.
Stands to reason. You had a brother and a sister, but they both deceased, correct?
Yeah, my brother died about 5 years ago.
And his name was?
William J. Hicks, J-A-Y.
And your sister?
Louise is all I know.
Okay.
And she died before I was born, and she...
It's just a name.
Saw one picture my mother always had.
How did you come to the area?
Well, I guess I was a resident of Millbrook for the first year of my life. My father was in the Millbrook Bank, then he went to work in the Aminia Bank, and I moved to Aminia at one, and we moved out of there in 1944 to Millerton, and my father took over the Millerton Bank. I went to the first four grades in Aminia, at the Aminia School, and that was it was two grades to a room, so first and second, third and fourth. So you learned both grades at the same time.
You certainly do. It moves it along a little quicker.
Okay.
Now, how did you get involved with Twin Lakes?
Well, Fred Hoos, who was the president... owner of the Aminia Bank, had a camp on Twin Lakes, and so we took over. We used it in August, and he used it the rest of the year. And so we shared boats and so on, and I grew up on Twin Lakes all in the summers. And then my aunt and uncle came up there and started renting places on the South Shore. And finally, in 1957, when I was in the Army, my father bought camp on the South Shore from Rodney Coombs. And it ended up in mine, so we grew up there. My aunt bought the place next door.
What was your aunt and uncle's name?
Waldo and Mabel Bass. They were also from the Willimantic area where my mother came from.
How did you get involved with the Beach Club then?
Well, my father was the treasurer of the Beach Club way back. I don't know when he started, but he was the treasurer when they first built the tennis courts.
Okay.
So I guess I was a member then as a family. And then through the Salisbury Rotary Club, I was at quite a few events there, and then in 1960, I got married in 62, somewhat just after that, they asked me if I wanted to be the assistant treasurer, which they had a token treasurer, and then the assistant did the work.
That figures.
That's the way it started, and then after two or three years, I became the official treasurer.
Did you do the work when you became the official treasurer?
I did the same thing I did before. I don't know there was any difference, really.
Have you held any other positions in
the
Beach Club?
Oh, I've been grounds chairman for 3 or 4 years. I was the waterfront chairman, built most of the docks for maybe 10 years. All the time being treasurer.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure.
And at that time, they had a tradition where the secretary moved up to be president the following year. So secretaries weren't that, didn't stay very long.
No, they
secretary.
Wouldn't.
But they changed that after a while. And then when I got married to Marge, she had been the...
You said she'd been the first president.
She was the first female president.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s, 76 I think it was, or 77, of the Beach Club.
Mm-hmm.
And we always kind of grew up together anyway. Her kids and my kids always...
Got together.
They stayed in Millerton. I lived in Millerton at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed together. And
good.
So we knew each other all the time. And then after I went through a divorce, and Marge had gone through her divorce, somehow we got connected. And
The rest is history.
We were married almost 30 years.
Oh,
would have been 30 years September 19th.
Your anniversary is coming up.
Yeah.
There was a big process of trying to get the shares back from the Beach Club. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, when I first joined, you had to buy a share
mm-hmm.
to be a member. And there was, let's say, back then it was $100 a share.
Uh-huh.
And that was a lot of money at those times.
Oh, yes.
Well, and everybody in the Beach Club when I joined were all local people.
Mm-hmm,
they were all
mm-hmm,
from Lakeville,
mm-hmm.
Salisbury, Millerton, Canaan. And it was a do-it-yourself club. It was entirely different than what it is now.
Oh, yes.
Everybody had a share. But then as people died and passed on, we tried to get it back, but there's probably, I don't know, 100 shares out there or people we can't even
find anymore.
We don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Or that some of them want to hold it on. They think it might be worth something sometime in the future. But still, it's only $100 a share.
Oh.
And maybe about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. we decided that we wanted to get more control of the club by the active members. So we moved it up to the point where they had to buy 3 shares, and if they dropped out of the club, they had to return them within a year.
Oh, good.
Or they were null and void. So I was in charge of keeping track of all the stock for up until about 3 years ago, and I guess I had it all worked out where we were limited to 500 shares, so I was trying to pull in back at shares, but about 3 or 4 years ago, I finally gave up as treasurer and turned it all over to the new regime.
Oh, good.
Which really is all second homeowners nowadays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I found that out in doing various interviews. Now, you said that you worked at the White Hart for 8 years?
Yeah.
What did you do at the White Hart?
Well, I was more or less the business manager of the Guardian Food Service, which was a subsidiary.
Who ran Guardian? Tommy O'Loughlin?
No.
Harney?
Actually, John Harney and Don Warner and Reese Harris were all involved in it. Jim Norton. I can't remember the man that was really in charge of it. I can't remember his name. He lived up in Wells Hill, Robin Hood Lane there. Have a memory fade.
That's all right. You've given me some wonderful names.
And we had the Indian Mountain School.
Yep.
We had Franconia College up in New Hampshire. We
mm-hmm.
had a whole, well, we had Sprague Electric all over New England. We did a lot of work for JCPenney in their Treasure Island division,
mm-hmm.
setting up snack bars and stuff. We ran the food service at St. Michael's College in Winooski, Vermont, and we ran the food service at Northwood School in Lake Placid.
Oh, okay.
And
when you worked
we owned at Wayberry Inn up in East Middlebury.
When you worked at the White Hart, did you know Bobby Day?
Oh, I knew Bobby very well. He lived right down the hall from me.
Have you got a good story about Bobby Day?
Well, he was there all the time, I remember when John hired it. And
tell me about that.
Well, I think he came from the Southbury.
Oh, he did. He came from, yes.
And so John had him, and he had Scotty Allen, and he took care of them very
Yes,
well.
He did. Yes, he did.
And they were always there. They lived there.
And they did...
Whatever John asked him.
Yeah, and they were very, very well taken care of.
You aren't a kid.
Scott went on to another restaurant, but Bobby Day stayed.
I never knew where Scott went. I remember him.
I think he went to the Riverton Inn, but I'm not sure. Okay, and then you said that you worked at community service.
Well, through Rotary, I always was a good friend of Mike Tenor, and I was getting tired of doing 1,000 miles of driving about a week, every other week.
I can believe that.
I mean, I used to go to Sprague Electric Plant in Sanford, Maine, and then go on across to northern New England, all the way to Lake Placid, and then back down every other week. And you know,
it gets wearing after a while.
You are the kid. And then finally, Mike asked me when he had bought J.B. Reed's over in Millerton, and I lived on Simmons Street in Millerton at the time, and knew Clark Dennison, shared the driveway with Clark Dennison, who owned J.B. Reed's. Anyway, Mike asked me if I would take over as manager at J.B. Reed's in Millerton.
Ah, good for you.
And I left the White Hart and went to community service at that time. We couldn't call J.B. Reed's community service because that was a name that was used in New York State.
Right.
So that's why we changed it to Community Lumber and Hardware after a while.
All right.
And so I was there about a year, and through some kind of involved deer hunting, really.
Well, and, let's.
So I came over. Well, Mike hired me back. I guess I'd left J.B. Reed's. And
did you ever work in either Lakeville or Salisbury?
Oh yes.
Okay.
So after about 1 week of not working for community, they asked me to come over and try to rearrange their books and do them. So I became more or less the business manager for the next 25 years or more, and in Lakeville until Harrington's bought us out.
Uh-huh.
I worked for Harrington's for a couple of years because I was too old to go out and look for anything else.
I know the problem.
And then I retired finally.
Now, we're going to talk about the Appalachian Trail. Norm Sills, how did you meet him? Through Rotary?
No, I knew Norm for years hiking.
Ah.
We hiked together a lot. I was very active with
The Appalachian...
Appalachian Mountain, the Connecticut chapter of the Appalachian Mountain Club.
What is that?
Well, it's a member organization of probably 100,000 people now, but it's based out of Boston, but they got chapters all up and down the East Coast. The Connecticut chapter and the New Hampshire chapter were some of their bigger ones.
Okay.
And then I just got involved with trails. And so next thing I know, I'm doing a lot of trail work in New Hampshire and Connecticut. And finally, Norm said, can you take over the Undermountain Trail, and by that time I had moved to Salisbury. I built my house in Salisbury in 1977 and moved out of Millerton over here. And
how big is the section?
Well, the Undermountain Trail. I took the Undermountain Trail and the AT up to the top of Bear Mountain. And that's probably 3 miles. The Undermountain Trail is 1.9, and then it's probably another half mile to three quarters up to the top of Bear Mountain. And I took care of that for about 4, 5, 6 years. Then I took over. I got rid of that and moved over to the Sages Ravine and Paradise Lane trails. And at that time, Paradise Lane was on Mount Riga Corporation land. And
oh, yeah.
It was kind of a secret Connecticut chapter trail that we had, so it wasn't really blazed.
It wasn't really blazed public like
well,
some of the
Seymour
others.
Well, Seymour Smith, who was very active in taking care of most of the trail in Connecticut, Appalachian Trail. He was very active with the Northwest Camp and the trails. And he believed that should have been just marked with an accolade, nick here and there.
What is the Northwest Camp?
Oh, that's about 130 acres right on the Massachusetts-Connecticut line on the Mount Riga Road. It goes right across the top of Bear, not the top of Bear Mountain, but the north side of Bear Mountain. And so it's on both sides of Bear Mountain area. The Connecticut chapter at that time allowed us to buy that land from Mount Riga Corporation. And of course, that time Frank McCabe and Don Warner were very active, both in the Appalachian Mountain Club and obviously in Mount Riga Corporation. And so we had been renting it for about $1 a year. Or maybe, I think maybe it was some of our records say $1 a year and some say $100 a year. I can't find any record where any payments were made.
But okay.
Anyway, and we built a cabin. It started out as a lean-to, became a cabin while we were building it. It's all out of the chestnut logs that were laying out in the woods. And it's still there.
Oh, good.
We had our 65th anniversary about 3 years ago of building of it. We even had a couple of the original people that built it come to the little celebration we had.
Wonderful.
And it's still a nice little cabin. We rent it out by the people rent it all the time. And
now,
we allow 6 people inside and 4 out on a tent platform. And I'm still active with it. I'm the trails chairman of that. I was the chairman of it for 3 years.
Now, you still have this sage ravine section.
I finally had to. My legs are getting bad. So now I gave it up about 2 years, 2.5, 3 years ago. And now I take the trail from Route 41 to Route 44, which circles around behind Noble Horizons and down Cobble Road.
Okay, that's an easier...
Much easier.
Much
on my
easier.
Knees.
Okay. How often do you work on the section?
I would say about at least once or twice a month at least.
And
I just bought and donated a DR mower to the trail crew. But in the past, I've gone down to our tool shed, which is behind the HVA down in Cornwall, and take the big DR mower and mow the grass in that field around Noble, and also the grass over in the field on Route 44 that's... I guess it's not my section, but I always do it.
You always do it.
And I also go up and do the grass up on Bunker Hill on the Lion's Head Trail.
Oh, yes. Do you have a crew, or do you do it by yourself?
Most of the time I do that by myself, but we do have work parties.
And how large would a work party be?
Well, we'd like to have it about 7 or 8 people, but now it seems to be the
4 or 5
old people.
The more mature gentleman.
Let's say that. I think our average age is about 70.
Probably. Now, when you work on a section, what are some of the things that you do?
Well, most of the time we're doing the brushing and making sure there aren't blowdowns across the trail. Cleaning up, drainage is the most important part. So we're cleaning the leaves and brush and branches out of our drainage ditches. And trying to keep the water off the trail is the mark. And then we try to keep it so that if you were crazy enough, you could carry a 4x8 sheet of plywood through the trail. So, people would pack packs, don't brush all the trees and so forth.
So you have to clear it 4 feet wide and 8 feet high?
That's our intent. It's real hard to do. I've got a section in New Hampshire that I still take care of. I'm hoping to give it up this year because...
getting to be a hassle.
Well, yeah, and it's up and down hills so much. But I did it 2 weeks ago. I did it completely. And
it looks fine. And yes, it'll stay that way for 2 weeks or more.
It should stay that way. I was very surprised. I cleaned all the drainage earlier this year, and there was nothing in it. The water had run off great, the way it's intended.
With the trail, is it bermed? Is it rounded so that the water will run off or not?
No.
No.
It's just through the woods.
Okay. What happens with a swampy area?
Well, most swampy areas, we either build it up with gravel or whatever we can find. We have to get the water off.
Oh, yeah.
So we put drainage along the sides, if we can find a place to have the water run off.
Mm-hmm.
Or we build bog bridges, which we just finished it. We've got a beautiful bog bridge up at the Northwest Camp that goes across the bog that we've had on the bog trail. It was 258 feet long.
Oh, my.
And because of a lot of people ski in there in the winter, mm-hmm, from down the Under Mountain Trail or from Mount Marston, we made it so it was three planks wide, which is not what we do out on the other trails.
It's wider than usual.
So it's for the skiers. Three planks wide because a lot of people cross-country ski into, mm-hmm, the camp. It's a beautiful trail.
Do you ever build steps?
Oh, yes.
Out of what?
Rock, if we can find them. We use a grip hoist system. And
what is a grip hoist system?
Well, it's more like come-alongs and so on, but sometimes we use cables and bring great big rocks across a ravine or something like that to get them over there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it must be the paid trail crew. AMC has a paid trail crew out of Pinkham Notch in New Hampshire. And I think they must be all about 7 or 8 foot tall. if you've ever been down to St. John's Ledges in Kent, mm-mm, the steps are
huge.
Huge.
I wouldn't be able to manage them.
I have a much harder time now that both my knees are arthritic and so on. I'm supposed to have them replaced.
Did you have anything to do with the Appalachian Trail Youth Hostel that was on Route 41?
No, never did.
Was the office there?
If you call Lavender Lovell's house.
Yeah, I know. I know it was Lavender Lovell.
Okay. Well, that was never a hostel.
But it did have an office in it.
We had an office in the middle of the two wings of the house.
And the two wings were rented out, right?
Rented out.
Were they like apartments? Or?
They were two apartments.
Okay.
We had one, the main house part, and then when Lavender Lovell would build a kennel.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was separated from the main house by maybe a 20-foot walkway, which was what we used for the office. That's where Norm Sills had it. He was working, he first worked over top of the auto shop down here.
Steve Olinger's auto shop.
Yeah, and then we moved up to the Under Mountain House, as we called it.
And when did you give that up?
Well, we gave it up because the AMC's head, Joy Street, up in Boston, they wouldn't let us keep the rentals to repair the house.
Ah.
And the roof needed to be repaired and leaked. And they wanted to keep that money.
In Boston.
In Boston. And we just said,
no.
If you want to do that, you take care of it. And the Connecticut chapter and the Trails Committee and whatever, we said, no way. So we stepped aside. And a year later or so, they sold it because they...
Do you know when you stepped aside? Can you give me a year?
I can look it up in my files, but I have no idea. It's when the town of Salisbury took it over.
Okay.
And then they sold it privately. And I'm not sure, but the National Park Service had bought it originally to get across Route 41 to take the road off of the Cabo Road where it used to go upper Cabo Road, and through up where Zach Candy used to live in that area, and now it's we've mowed it and gone straight up to Bunker Hill that way.
Okay.
But we've moved the trail so many times.
It's kind of moved around a lot.
You aren't again.
Now, is there anything that you'd like to add before we close?
Well, I was Salisbury's representative to the what we called CatMac, and that was we were planning out where to move the trail. Norm did most of the surveying of it. I helped him quite a bit. That's when we moved the trail out of Mohawk Mountain area and up over the mountains and come down to the high school. And we moved it all to the Sharon side of the Housatonic. That was a completely rebuilt section.
Oh, my.
And so that, and we still come down over Prospect Mountain, same as it always did, but we've had to change, I would say, 50% of the trail in Connecticut since I started.
Oh, my goodness.
It's everywhere else, it's the same way. I mean, Dutchess County used to be all roadwalk, and now it's all on
trails,
on private land and on trails. It's, most of this was to get it off, you know, so it would be protected in the future.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.